The Justin Robert Young Program, brought to you as always by everybody who supports us at PayJuryDaily.com. That's where you can find our Patreon. But here's another way that you can support the show. Head on over to StickersOrDiaf.com. We got everything in the Night Attack button pack. We have the limited edition Death to Mayo enamel pin shipping to you right now. We really only have about another 10 days or so if you want to, or less than that, probably 7 days, probably just have this week to order. This is when you need to get your last minute orders in at StickersOrDiaf.com. If you've got a Jury fan in your life, if you are a Jury fan, you want to take it to the next level, you want to get some get some buttons, get some pins, get some merch, get some stickers, StickersOrDiaf.com. But never talking about how we support the show. Oh, what do you say? We just do the damn thing! Ladies and gents, clear out the vents, ladies and gents. Welcome. Another week begins here on the Jury Daily program. We've got a lot to talk to you about. Some great emails that came in. A few hypothetical questions that I'm very excited to tackle here live with you on the program from Oakland, California. I don't know why I just fell into that. Oakland, California. Kind of sounds halfway Californian and halfway kind of like Midwest, Oakland, California. Yeah, we just got back from our vacation in California. It was great. It was great. That sounds more California. We just got back from our vacation in Des Moines. It was great. Here's a vacation that would not be so fun to deal with. This was somebody out there in Times Square. I'm just saying, look, if you happen to be in New York, New York's a beautiful place to be for Christmas. There's a lot to see. You know, if you're a tourist, it's the time of year when New York City doesn't smell like hot piss. Because the weather is so cold that the piss has now frozen to the side of the street. If you're one of them their fans of snow, boy howdy, are you gonna get all the snow that you could want? But you gotta be careful, friends, because sometimes shits like this are gonna happen. Times Square scammer posing as robs tourist, says the New York Police Department. We read now from a Channel 4 New York website story. A scammer in Times Square stole $1,200 from a tourist and left her with a pocket full of newspapers instead of bills, said the New York Police Department. The man posed as a visitor from another country on November 23rd and said he had been robbed of $300. He then asked the 23-year-old victim if she could hold his money. The New York Police Department said. He said he kept his money in an orange bandana. There is an old saying in the world of scams and cons that you cannot con an honest John. This comes from the fact that normally in a scam, there has to be some level, some moment when you feel like you are benefiting from this situation. Now, there's a moment where you feel like you might be taking advantage of a stranger. You might be getting one over on somebody else. And I kind of feel like this arrest report, which is normally how these stories come about, is it's not like a cop calls a reporter and says like, hey man, you won't believe this crime. All crimes have to get written up. Those crimes get written up, they go to the arrest reports, and it's usually somebody's job to go through a bunch of crime reports, and then you find the ones that are interesting and you write them up. So that's what this is. Everything that they are quoting now, and yeah, I'm double checking here, but there's no quotes from the police. But that's why it's like New York Police Department says this happened. But all you're getting is what was in the report that was written up. So this tourist ran to a cop and said the following things. But if your antenna went up like mine did on this sentence, he then asked the 23-year-old victim if she could hold his money. He said he kept his money in an orange bandana. When she opened her backpack, she saw her money and asked if they could combine their money for safekeeping, police said. He put all of their money in the bandana and then put it in her coat pocket, police said. When the man didn't return, she looked in the bandana and found that it was stuffed with newspaper. The man appeared to be in his 50s with salt and pepper beard. Police said he was wearing a gray and black knit cap, black coat, and gray pants. I am almost positive that this did not play out exactly as this tourist repeated it to the cops. And no, another J. Martin. We're not going to start slandering those with salt and pepper beards. Although, for the benefit of our audio listeners, or our video listeners, you can now see my new favorite friend, my new favorite co-host. Fuck Brian. Fuck Andrew. I don't give a fuck about any of them anymore. This is the only person that I care about. You can go ahead and check this out on Instagram, too. This was handcrafted. What I hold in my hand right now is a My Buddy-sized jury doll that was sent to me by B Rainbow Bright in the chat. She is the best. I don't know how I will ever be able to thank her, because what she has given me is a gift that you simply can't replicate. This is handmade. It right down to the salt and pepper hair and beard. My jury, wherever he goes, I go. My jury and me. He does have anime eyes that look like he accidentally ate way too much of that edible. But back to this story. Apparently, we're to believe that a 23-year-old lady was approached by this guy who said, "I was robbed. I need you to hold my money for safekeeping. Here's $300. The lady then said, "Okay, I'll take it, but only on the condition that I can also put all my money in your weird-ass bandana." Apparently, there was some kind of switcheroo. The guy leaves, doesn't come back. And she finds out that her $1,200 was taken by this man posing as a recently robbed tourist. You want to know why? I don't buy any of this. I have no doubt that this lady got scammed. But I am almost positive that there's no reason to put $1,200 of your own money in a weird-ass orange bandana unless you think that you're going to get to keep that money. That's the key. I got to ask Brian about it. Brian Brushwood, my co-host on Night Attack, and of course the host of the now newly rebranded Scam Nation. He would know. He would know exactly what this scam is. So hopefully we'll have an answer for you tomorrow. In the meanwhile, let's go ahead and get to your emails. Andrew writes in about our Christian edging couple. Guys, if you have not gone back and listened to the bonus episode that I put up on Friday, oh, do listen to the bonus episode that I put up on Friday. Last Thursday, we had a very amazing email that came in about a man who was defending the song Baby, It's Cold Outside. And in it, he explained a lot of very wholesome, sweet things, including the fact that he has very fond memories growing up and his 90-year-old grandparents singing the song to each other, and that him and his wife also very much enjoy the song. They are conservative Christians, which is where things take a bit of a turn, because he then explains why him and his wife like it, and it's because they like to role play the song. And he got into very graphic detail of the kind of sexual play-by-play of how his words, not mine. I'm going to read from the email again, just so you understand where I'm coming from here. Please don't you and your listeners jump to conclusions on Christians and conservative stereotypes. Resisting your urges creates buildup and anticipation. Believe it or not, we like to fuck as much as other couples. This now becomes a game, which in my opinion makes it better than just a quick fuck. Or my wife compares it to rubbing her pussy and then stopping before she orgasms, then starting back up 30 seconds later to build to a bigger climax. So in my wife's head, she has it that she's been seeing the man in the song for weeks now. She wanted to fuck him on the second date, but hasn't decided if he is worthy of her pussy yet. Now she's resisting, as she always does, not because of some societal norm forced upon her, but she's building anticipation and making sure he works for the gift of pleasuring her. Her resistance changes to harmony as she is dripping wet and ready to fuck all night. If it helps, my wife is female, late 30s, and Paige Sheamus level white. Now, the bonus episode was during our call-in show, the Friday Hype Train, the wife called in, not knowing what her husband had written in. So if you have not listened to that, then you need to go into the feed and you need to listen to it. It is one of the highlights of my podcasting career. It was amazing. Andrew wrote in about that situation. That dude is insane. You literally have insane listeners. Although I do give him credit. He must be a great conservative Christian, because all I could say during that email was Jesus Christ. I swear to God, though, that dude probably did put some people in the pews this Sunday. I think he single-handedly, this might be the last bastion of proselytizing. He might be his own digital his own digital missionary. He is making his way to the various points of the internet and saying, you want to know what? There's some freaks up in church. Madonna in the streets, Jezebel in the sheets. Drew in Alberta says, hey, jury, I'm a little behind on the show. Sorry if this has been discussed. But you were talking about millennial monopoly and your mixed feelings about it and being a millennial in general. I am one, too, born in 1984. To me, millennial has become a targeted phrase, the way that you would call somebody a hippie in the 60s or 70s, a yuppie in the 80s, a slacker in the 90s. The problem is that instead of having the term associated with people as a part of a subculture of society, it's being applied to every person born between X and Y dates. Nothing we can do about it until the next generation starts doing things and we can complain about. So I say turn into the skid, millennial up the place. I feel like I'm with you, Drew. I've given up my crusade. I tend to believe that there should be there is a more valuable cohort in separating people who were born in a pre-internet world to people that were born in a internet saturated world. But fuck, you want to know what? I've tried to fight this battle for years now. Ain't nobody buying my pamphlet, so I'll move on. I'm a millennial. Eric writes, "Hey, Gerbs. Looks like God just got slapped with a Me Too. Mary didn't give consent, and Jesus is a rape baby." He points us to this article from The Blaze. "Professor says Virgin Mary didn't give consent to being impregnated with the baby Jesus. This represents an unethical abuse of power." I will say that there have been times where I've thought, well, man, that is kind of fucked up, you know? Like, it is kind of weird that, you know, you're God. But then again, it's kind of the same as, like, Zeus, right? If anything, Zeus impregnated fucking a ton of people. He would come down as animals. He would fuck people. Zeus was a freak. Zeus was into some fucked up shit. If anybody deserves a Me Too, it's Zeus. You know? So I'm not excusing God for his Me Too. He is an all-knowing entity who impregnates a teen without her consent. He does give her a heads up. I don't know, though. But then again, I also don't know enough of the Bible that, like, I don't know exactly what the interplay there is on, like, was he pre-authed? Was God pre-authed with Mary? Like, is Mary, like she was a devout follower? She's like, so, in general, she's like, look, I'm down for anything. My relationship with God is fucking awesome. And then God puts a baby in her, and she's like, dope. Fucking when I said anything, I meant anything. I'm carrying a fucking baby for God. I kind of think Mary was pre-authed. Zeus, though. Fuck Zeus. I need some Christians. Scoop of Faith, who wrote that fucking other email, please also. I don't know if I want to invite this. Yes, I do. Please keep writing in. Give me you're our new Christian correspondent. BioCow points out that the true story of Christmas, the true story of Christmas is God coming down to Joseph and saying, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody who is listening here today. I specifically want to thank our grand jury. Yes, the grand jury. Today's the Jen, Petey Rave, Non-Specific, Rock and Roll, Marsh, and Joe Acosta. Whoa! Redneck Tech and James. Again, you're going to have to order within the next week if you want your stickers or DIAF shit by Christmas. Order now. Order now. Stickers or DIAF.com. Of course, you can email us, jurydaily@gmail.com. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, at Justin R. Young. And you can join our Discord at bit.ly/jurydiscord. God's down with OPP. Yeah, you know your way. Folks. Until next time, please give a round of applause to Mr. Wacky, and more specifically, please, don't. No!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.